Hi, Ellen. Thank you for your time today. You are the Director for Strategic Partnership at the Fairmount Waterworks Interpretive Center in Philadelphia, and your primary role is environmental education. Can you tell us about your background and the aims of the Interpretive Center?
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to talk about the Fairmount Waterworks Interpretive Center. I have worked with them for almost 20 years, doing a variety of things, but bringing mostly audiences and attention to the story of Philadelphia's water system through this incredible historic landmark that still exists in Philadelphia. I want to just say that Fairmount Waterworks is a historic engineering landmark, which is a very high status for buildings in the U.S. because of its national significance. It was built to distribute water to the city of Philadelphia. It was actually a pump house for water, and that led to a great economic and technological advancement for Philadelphia. And then there was a period where the water system at Fairmount was shut down, probably about 90 years or so between the time when Philadelphia went to filtering its drinking water and didn't use the Fairmount Waterworks anymore for pumps and providing drinking water at that place. And then it was a big discussion amongst a lot of water managers and the public and historic preservationists what to do with this very significant landmark that was really about to crumble into the river. It's situated adjacent to the river and was really threatened with complete decay. And so a lot of people got together and saved the waterworks from its demise and felt that it was a very important place to tell the story of water. And that is why the public utility in Philadelphia invested their energies and time, and it became a public education center for the utility, which is very unique in the U.S. for a utility to come in and really commit to education in a big way with a site that tells the story. So I want to just say that the Fairmount Waterworks is exemplar in not only industrial history, but also in architecture. It was designed to be beautiful and functional, and the water department continues to support that. I could talk all day about the Fairmount Waterworks and its significance, so I just find it to be a really powerful place to be.
Nice. That's very enriching. Such a rich history of the Fairmount Waterworks. So how does this historic richness of places such as the Fairmount Waterworks help in promoting partnerships, raising water awareness, and understanding the complexity of such a watershed management?
Great question. I had mentioned in my last comments about the power of place, and I think that there's also in watershed education and also in life, there's a value in experiencing a place, not just reading about it or seeing it now on our screens or a picture. I think that the experience gives you a multidimensional experience about water. The Fairmount Waterworks is adjacent to the river. It's one of the few places along what we call the Schuylkill River that you can be up close. You can hear the wildlife. You can see the wildlife. You can see fish jumping in the river. You can smell the river in a good way. probably 100 years ago in a bad way, but today in a good way. So I think that this is really what we would call community engagement. To just be there, be able to come with your bike or your family and just be by the river, and there are breezes that come off the water. This is something we think is very powerful. And I also think that the story we're trying to tell when people visit, first we engage them with the architecture and the beauty of the site, but then they come into our center and there are so many educational exhibits there to learn about the history of drinking water. And also we manage wastewater at the Philadelphia Water Department too. And I think the message we hope people come away with is that tap water is not a foregone conclusion. Good, clean tap water is something that takes a lot of effort and over hundreds of years to maintain and provide.
That's quite interesting. So you're still providing tap water in the city of Philadelphia?
Yes, the water department, I'm calling the Philadelphia Water Department, they're the municipal utility. They are an integrated utility, so they manage drinking water system, wastewater system, and stormwater management. And I feel incredibly privileged as an educator when I try and interpret that complex process to people. I get to tell the whole story. So I get to tell basically Philadelphia's source water for drinking still comes from locally from the rivers. So I get to tell the whole cycle story. And I think that when you're at the river and you realize that's the source of your drinking water, and if we even can visit or understand treatment plants and then stormwater runoff and all these things, we hope that people will start to really see the complexity and value the system for what it is.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that. So I'd like to ask, what are the features of active preservation currently ongoing at the Fairmount Water Works?
So in terms of historic preservation and the Fairmount Water Works, we don't believe in standing still. We don't have the mindset of preservation is to arrest development, shrink wrap it. We certainly want the integrity of the site, or at least the stability of the site. But we also want to have exhibits inside the interpretive center, because we are interpreting the water system, that come from different vantage points. So we have things that educate about the ecology of the river. We have sometimes controversial exhibits. We have one right now that brings up the social aspect of water and the uncomfortable history of segregation and pools and swimming. We want people to come away with it, not a bummer attitude, but a joyful one, that swimming is something that all people want to enjoy and that it's a joyful thing. And there are people who of color who have risen above the injustices to celebrate that. And we portray them in this exhibit. Then also the scientific research and data that goes into keeping the ecology stable, diverse. We have inside of our interpretive center an active mussel hatchery. It's a demonstration hatchery, but we're propagating freshwater mussels there for the public to come see the lab and test out how we can get this endangered species to survive and then thrive.
Well, that's a lot of stuff you guys are doing. So, Ellen, you mentioned community engagement. When you say community, who do you mean? And what's the range of these community members you bring into your projects at the Fairmount Water Works?
That's a great question. The Fairmount Water Works believes in reaching 0 to 99 and maybe 100. I don't have ages. Anybody who will be willing and open to learning or just experiencing. We have no fee to get into our site, which we feel breaks down that barrier economically. So anybody can come and enjoy the Fairmount Water Works. We have a lot of programs at the Water Works for all ages, public programs, lectures, and also a robust school program where we bring in school groups to have what we would call a field trip experience. But we also think of the Fairmount Water Works as a hub for reaching out into the community and engaging all different ages, both in community events, tabling events. The water department has a very strong community engagement team that goes out to events. They have what's called a water bar where people can come and taste tap water and learn about tap water. And it's supposed to be fun and yet factual. We have a robust curriculum now that we offer to the Philadelphia School District, which is the public school system, in 4th through high school. And we train teachers to implement that curriculum, which means that the touch is exponential, because as we're teaching the teachers, then they reach their students. Not only does it change the way the teachers feel about the water system, but then they can impart that, you know, one teacher to 30, 60, 100 students at a time. So we really feel like that has very deep and exponential growth. So We just closed an exhibit that was not permanent, but it was called Submerged, and it was an exhibit highlighting how artists interpret climate change and the impact of flooding. We had a couple of public programs on that, talking about the public health implications of flooding, but also how artists use their work to tell the story, but also emotionally almost support people who are traumatized or feel anxious about climate change and flooding. So we have temporary and permanent things that go on at the Waterworks.
It's quite interesting how you're still including all these, you know, current important issues such as climate change, etc. So another question is, how would you say the past has affected or informed, let's say, these transition or these addition of new functions, etc.? Because you gave a very brief, but it was quite rich and dense history of the Fairmont Waterworks and how it's changed from a water supply, water distribution system, and is now this education interpretive center. So how would you say the past played a role in this change?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I think one thing that is important to keep in mind when one is thinking about climate change is that it's a long story, and it's time is important, and how things have changed over time and trends that have happened is very sometimes hard to grasp. We're very immediate in our thinking. We want to talk about today or this year or last year, but in understanding the legacy of the water supply system and its evolution, for example, we teach a lot about what Philadelphia did and a lot of cities did to bury their natural streams and turn them into sewers. In the 19th century, they did this practice. Now, today we want to do that, but I think to look back and understand that practices were adopted for certain reasons, historical context, is important to understand why those things were done at the time for all kinds of reasons, maybe for economic reasons to be able to turn the land into developable properties for houses to level the streams. But it's not that we say that is the practice of today, but understanding that the context of where that practice came from. And then understanding also today, we're making decisions that may not be applicable 100 years from now or 50 years from now. So having programs that can evolve and opening up that conversation and the discourse about those, using the past and looking to the future at the same time is really important. And we believe in that at the Fairmont Waterworks, in evolving our thinking. Especially the Fairmont Waterworks site itself is flood prone. When they opened it as an interpretive center in 2003, the designers knew it would flood because we're right by the river. We didn't know that flooding in 2003 would be a different story than in 2023, where we're having more frequent storms and more severe flooding. But nevertheless, it's a thing to think about, manage, and also live with. And how do we live with it is something that we're studying right now. How do we live with this? How do we protect property when we know that flooding is more frequent? And not just the economic importance or the property importance, but also the social and emotional part of flooding, which really affects communities in Philadelphia more and more.
So unfortunately, we are coming to the end of the podcast, and it's been very informative. Thank you again for your time and for letting us in on more about the history and activities of the Fairmont Waterworks. What will be your message to our learners?
I would say my message to you is acknowledge the power of a place and use that place to convey different opportunities. Integrate them into the planning, into the services, and into the interpretation of that place. Think about a myriad of audiences and reach out and bring your customers along with that story. Have them give back to you what their story is, and then integrate that into what you're trying to do, and experience it. Experiences are
worth everything to be at a place. So value what you have and celebrate it.
Thanks, Ellen. Indeed, we should experience such places. Thank you.
Thank you.